podcast about people putting together great community renewable energy projects and examining how energy policies help or hurt the development of clean local power. My name is Wade Underwood. This week, John Farrell and I talk community wind power with Randy Kavness, an Iowa farmer and member of Green Energy Farmers. Working with over 180 investors in the local community, Randy helped build 8 utility-scale wind turbines with community ownership. These turbines provide clean local power to municipal and rural electric utilities in southwestern Iowa. Here's John and Randy now.
Welcome to the program, Randy.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess what would be most helpful for our listeners is to get into just a little description of the project. What we've read is that you've got 5 utility-scale turbines across a few different communities for a total of about 12 or 13 megawatts. Maybe just tell us a little bit about the project.
Yeah, there's 8 turbines with 12.6 megawatts power, and we originally started in 2007 with the idea that we would do 2 turbines for our local rural electric utility co-op, which serves our farming communities around us, and we were able to get USDA grants through the Rural Development Program, and the state has their incentive program, which is the state tax credit, 1.5 cents a kilowatt, and the government had the stimulus incentive package from 2009 Recovery Act, and that has 30% cash of your project, or 30% of your project is back to you in cash as an incentive to build the project. So with that, we built the first 2 turbines in 2010, and then in 2011, with that program, what I call a 1603 incentive program to end, we bought 5 more turbines to put up during 2012, and starting in 11, so they would qualify. And upon nearing completion of those projects, we actually bought an 8th turbine, and we did not qualify for that program, but it does qualify for the federal production tax credit, which is expiring this year, but that turbine was up, so it qualifies for that. So with that, we ended up with 8 different turbine projects in our community, probably of a 10 mile by 30 mile span is where the turbines are located, serving 2 municipal utilities and 3 rural electric substations.
That sounds like that's quite an undertaking, maybe even using different partners. Could you tell us a little bit about, are all of the turbines owned by the same, owned by the same co-op, or, what's the ownership structure for the different projects?
Each turbine is a separate limited liability corporation with different owners. There are some owners that have shares in multiple turbines, but each one is an individual business on its own, with its own contracts, its own, everything's completely separate, its own business model. And part of the reason is some of the tax credits are capped at 2.5 megawatts. So that would be one thing. The state of Iowa is capped on their state tax credit. That was one thing. And then, of course, the different projects lie in different areas, and then putting that much power into one spot, we had to be spread out to be able to utilize the power out here. We're using a distribution system. We're hooking directly to where it goes to the final load, to the people's houses, to the small town. It's hooked right, goes right into them. So we're not using the transmission system. It's all hooked to a distribution system, local distribution system.
What, in terms of organizing the different projects, were you involved in setting up all of the LLCs? Are you participating in just a couple of them?
I was instrumental in all of them. Originally, the first 2 projects were, I was on the County Farm Bureau board, and that was one of our projects for a community involvement project, a community enhancement project, would be to try to develop that. And there were 14 of us on the board that put money in and developed the first 2 projects. And then going forward, we decided we could duplicate that model and open it up to the community so they could invest in their own project, and we could invest as well. And the end result, we had 180 different investors on the 8 projects, putting in about $6 million of their money for down payments and so forth, for seed money to fund the projects. And then we were able to, with grants, guarantees, and so forth, to complete the project. The total project was about $24 million on all 8 turbines.
And it sounds like the first 2 projects, it was kind of folks you already knew through the Farm Bureau board. When you mm-hmm. went out with the other projects, were there any kind of, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is, or we get into a lot, is securities laws and how you can organize investors to raise the capital for renewable energy projects. What was the strategy or the rule under which you were able to do that for the other projects?
Again, each LLC could only have, only sold a maximum of 34 shares per project to keep it under, so we avoid some security issues. I think there's 35 shareholders, I think, is sort of a rule. And most of the people we know, I mean, they're just friends, neighbors. I know I sold probably 85% of the shares myself. And I would say that the high majority, either I knew the person or it was a family member or a relative or acquaintance of the person that I knew. It was real close. It's a close-knit little deal on each one of these projects. So we never really went out. We never sold shares to anybody we didn't know or some, you know, very, very short distance to know who that person was. So it was really basically a joint, a little deal where the friends and family came together and said, okay, let's do this. And that's kind of what we did. Mostly sold to our friends and neighbors and or their relatives, somebody that maybe moved away that was a family member here that moved away and came back and said, oh, that's neat. I want to invest in that. And so we have that, a little bit of that. Most of the people are within 30 miles of the turbines that own the shares. But that's how we did that.
So it seems like the securities regulations weren't too big an issue, but did you have to overcome any other barriers in developing this program? Was there any pushback from anyone in particular?
No, we didn't have any real tough issues with that. The USDA was very instrumental in the original project, and we have guaranteed loans through the Rural Development Program on five of the turbines. So that was a big plus. They wanted to see this developing. We have the wind resources here, and we can add capacity, generation capacity, without tying up the grid. You know, or the transmission system coming in, that seems to be a big issue. And why not use that? And so that develops the community. The community owns it. The tax credits, the benefits, the dividends stay here locally. So in that sense, it's really a great community enhancement. We really didn't have really too much pushback at all. I don't think. I'm trying to think if they're really. Well, the local bank supported it. We have three of the local banks here that have done all the financing that we did, just within 25 miles of us here, the banks, the local surrounding banks basically were very supportive of it. And so it was just a matter of getting the people together that wanted to invest and presenting them with an opportunity and explaining to them what it was. But no major obstacles that were insurmountable. We didn't have any, really nobody came out against what we were doing.
Randy, I'm curious, when you were talking about getting the local banks involved, was this something that they had been participating in already, financing wind projects or renewable energy projects?
Totally new to them. Their lending is primarily agricultural or like local housing type things, or car loans, things like that, consumer loans. And so this is totally different for them, but with, like I said, five of them did get USDA guarantees for their loans, give them some security that way. We got three loans with no guarantees. Toward the end, we were getting better. We were raising more money and using more of a down payment, having more of a local down payment, so the bank would have a little more security, and the debt wouldn't be as much. So that was, toward the end, that's the way I think three of the last projects we didn't even need a guarantee on. We were able, the banks were comfortable enough just to go ahead and do the project.
Just another question about the structure. When, you know, you set up each of these LLCs, is that a fairly simple process, or is it something that you had experience in doing before?
Well, I've got my own farming business, which is a corporation. We deal with LLCs all the time. I mean, that's more of a later model of doing business and stuff, but it's, you know... it's not a big thing to do. It doesn't take much at all to get an LLC started.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans then to do any more projects? It sounded like there were at least a couple of incentives that are expiring that would raise barriers to doing additional projects.
I don't really have any more plans. There's a local college that's talked about doing a couple turbines, and I don't know. I told them I would help, you know, guide them or whatever I could do, you know, You know, if they wanted to do something, I would help work them a little bit on that. They could do it. I mean, there's people that want to do it. Their bank actually came to them and said, why aren't you doing this type thing? And they have the need themselves. They could utilize the power themselves and make it work. That's one possibility. Whether they'll ever get it done, who knows? It seems like my experience has been when a college or somebody like that, it seems like it takes them longer to, then a private person can come in there and probably get the job done and have them spend them in a short time. But it seems like when you deal with committees and things like that, it takes longer. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't really have any plans right now. That the, like I said, the incentives have ended. If they would extend it, then that could open up a possible door if they could open up the production tax credits. There's people, I'm getting calls now, all of our shares are sold, and people want to buy more shares. So there is definitely room for that. There's no question about that.
Glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask if you had gotten interest from other folks in participating or other folks maybe other than the colleges who were interested in trying to replicate your model either around Iowa or in different states. Maybe that's a good question, too. I'll add that on in addition to whether or not there are other folks interested, whether or not without the state tax credit that you think projects like this would be able to happen in other states.
The state credit, as far as I know, is still going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when it expires. I think it's got several years, but the federal credit is the big one. It expires this year, at the end of this year. And maybe they'll extend it 1 year, I don't know.
Randy, it sounds like the projects you've undertaken in Iowa have been pretty successful and good examples of true local community renewable energy. So my question is, what's sort of your general outlook on renewable energy? What do you think the positive takeaway should be and where we should be going with it?
Well, we have, in this area, and really to a greater extent just west of us even, there's certainly a lot of resources available that should be utilized. And whether you know, environmental things can be a big concern, that can be a real, I don't know if that's a showstopper. There's, people worry about bass, things like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not against them, but you know, I know that I was at the University of Nebraska at a conference out there, and the DNR was saying that the impact of that is like 0.8 per year per megawatt. It's not really that big a deal, and yet you have a lot of resistance from people that want to say they're environmental, and yet at the other time they don't want a wind turbine. So you can't have it both ways. If you don't want a wind turbine, then you're going to get your power somewhere else. It's probably going to have a smokestack hooked to it or atoms running around and eating water.
Speaking of opposition, do you feel that if these, there were similar projects built in your area, but that were not locally owned, that they would have faced more opposition, that the local ownership played a role in?
Not really. No, I think the communities, I know that we had some municipals several years ago put up a small turbine in a couple of rural towns near here, and everybody thought it was great. You know, they put the city name right on the side of the turbine, and it's a landmark. The community's proud of it. Mm-hmm. And we just took it one step further and just said, let's let the community build it. Let's let them own it. And so the municipals, and we give the municipal, the other side of it is what we're doing is we're giving the municipal a break on the power rate. They're buying the power cheaper from us than where they're getting. So everybody, all the consumers get something out of the deal, even if you're not an investor. That's what we like about what we're doing. Not only does the investor get the credits and the benefits, but the community buys power at a discount. It's not a big deal where everybody's going to save a lot of money, but it does save something. And I guess I'm one of the people that think if you can do something, that's better than doing nothing and complaining. So it's a step in the right direction, and it's that's got to be positive.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, I just want to thank you so much for your time. We don't have any more questions for you, but we're excited to have heard about your project, and we do hope that a few other folks are able to pick up where you've left off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not that. Once you get it down, once you get the names of the people and you get the thing going, it's really not that hard. That last turbine, we call it Skybolt, we bought that turbine in April, and by July it was spinning. That's the development time on that project. There wasn't any. We just basically had a site that we thought we could use. And we got FAA approval, we got the turbine ordered, we got it up, and it was from April to July. That's how long it takes to put up a 1.6 megawatt turbine, as opposed to 2 years on the first end. So once you get it down, once you get it figured out, you can move pretty fast, and that's what we were able to do. So, and they had no trouble. We sold those shares at $50,000 a share, and had no problem selling.
Remarkable. Well, is there anything else that you think we should know, you know, in our pursuit of more community-based renewable projects or in our investigations of policy issues?
I don't know. I just think it's a great idea. I just like spreading the wealth around a little bit, let people own it. You got to have somebody that'll stand there and do the work and, you know, see over it. I mean, you can't be in this thing to personally make a lot of money, otherwise it's not going to work because there isn't that much extra cash floating around in this deal. So you got to have somebody committed to the project and wanting to do it and do something for the community. I think that's pretty important. A big developer, if you had a bigger project, obviously there's more money out there. But these types of projects in the small communities you're not dealing with, you just don't have that kind of volume. So it takes somebody, you have to have somebody that really wants to do it, and the right person, and I think you can get a lot done.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Randy. Both Wade and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Sure. Yeah.
That was John Farrell, Wade Underwood, and Randy Kavness. Randy is an Iowa farmer who helped build 8 utility-scale wind turbines in southwestern Iowa. For questions or comments, please email jfarrell@ilsr.org with Local Energy Rules Podcast in the subject. John's Twitter handle is John F. Farrell. This podcast was published on March 7th, 2013. Thanks for tuning in.